This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Hey, Mayor, I got to say thank you from the get-go for not taking your vacation and going on break this whole week while Brian's gone.
I was thinking, you know, I could really, really use even a couple of days, you know, just of nothing. So
I wouldn't have
I'll wait till Brian gets back.
I would not have been offended if you did, because I've been listening almost every day. I do anyway.
And you're already sick of me, so.
No, I'm not.
I'm tired of me.
It's the contrary.
Anyway.
You know that. I've got some interesting things I want to talk to you about that happened yesterday on the show after you were on. But before we get to that, I looked at the COVID-19 Macon County chart that's on the Macon County Health Department's website. Hasn't changed, I don't think, since last time I looked at it. Today's the day they do the reports, right?
Well, we do reports every day back to the community. And we've seen, you know, we had in the last couple of weeks, we've had a couple of days that were really, really small numbers in. And then they've been, you know, up and down around 30. But we haven't seen like a dangerously high spike. Like we didn't go up to an 80% or 80, like 80 in one day, which that's happened to some communities. There are some counties that have really gotten themselves into trouble because it's one or more, more than one of the, like, I think there are seven things that put you in the warning phase. But we have not been there, knock on wood. And I really credit our businesses. I was in Taproot last night, and in the elevator going up, there was a sign about, you know, wear your masks, we want to stay open. So, you know, you can take them off at your table, but please, if you get up and move around, put your mask on, we want to stay open. So it's that kind of attitude that's making the difference.
I wonder if these owners of these restaurants, when they see you walk in, send out some kind of alert.
Yeah, I don't think I'm probably the most popular person going, but, you know,
no,
Kevin,
they
point
love
is
you,
keeping
but
people safe. And that's the masks are the tool. That's the one tool we have other than washing your hands and socially distancing. That's all we've got right now.
Actually, I was at Doherty's one day having lunch, or maybe I don't know what it was, but it was a meal inside, and they've done everything that you're supposed to do as far as spacing people and all that. And mm-hmm. You were there, and I didn't know it because you had your mask on. And you'd walk
That, I'll tell you what, that is hard, because especially you'll be in Kroger or something, and if somebody else walks in sunglasses, you can't tell who these people are. It's like, oh, hi, is that you? So, but, you know, maybe that's, sometimes you could be incognito, I guess.
You know, a weekend ago, it was on a Saturday, I had one of those gaiters on, a black gaiter from Fleet Feet, and I had it's black. I had my sunglasses on. I had a cap on because I was probably on my way to go play golf. And before I walked into, I guess it was Casey's, I put that up over my nose. And that poor girl, if you would have seen her eyes when I walked in.
Oh, man.
And I didn't realize how spooky I looked.
You're not supposed to wear sunglasses or masks when you walk into a bank or some of these stores. So, you know, this has been, you know, it's a big change.
I look like somebody right out of a John Wayne movie, only with a ball cap on. I mean, it was, she said, oh my gosh, I'm sure glad it's Saturday morning. If you came in, it's Saturday night at midnight, I'd be hitting an alarm button. So,
no kidding. No
anyway.
Kidding.
Hey, so yesterday, it's been kind of political week here, and we had Charlie McGorry on, who's running for state rep on the Republican ticket. And, you know, Charlie's new to this thing, and he decided to throw his hat into the ring. When he didn't have to, like you, because he's already pretty much through his career and has done pretty well for himself as far as, you know, making an impact as a fireman and as a business owner and a variety of other things. So anyway, we were talking about it, and one of his stances was, you know, I asked a perennial question, I asked every one of them, if you're not for a tax increase, like the governor's got, and I'm not for it either, and you're not for a federal government bailout, which the governor's asking for, I'm not for that either. I said, but in all fairness, at least he's trying something. What are you going to do if you get in there? Because there's only so many ways to get out of this hole. And, you know, pretty much their answer was cut, cut, cut. And No, I think you got to generate revenue somehow, and it doesn't have to be through taxes. But he was citing the water park, I guess. Maybe his opponent had a lot to do with getting funds for Decatur's park district to be able to build the splash park that's going to open up in the lazy river that's being dug right now. And I pushed back a little bit, and I said, you know, Charlie, that's a quality of life issue, and I'm all for that. I think it's great that she got that money, and, well, we can't afford that, and that money should go into the inner cities and tear down homes for the city. Not that those aren't valid points, but it's a balance, isn't it, Mayor? I mean, it's a complicated thing, being in government, particularly being mayor, for allocating resources to make this a good community all the way around.
Well, it is complicated. And Brian and I have had this conversation a lot, in that you can't just do one thing at a time. Now, granted, you need to prioritize. It's kind of like you have to get your bills paid before you can set aside money to go on vacation. So there are those quality of life things that are important to a family, but keeping the roof over your head and, you know, the water on, the power on, those really kind of have to have come first. But you have to have a balance. And, you know, the park district is a separate government entity. A lot of people really, there are so many governmental bodies in Illinois in particular, it's hard to tell who does what. I mean, I get blamed for a lot of stuff that I don't have any power over or control over. But we're really, these are all the same taxpayers funding things in our community. And, you know, we're very blessed in that we, I tell people we're big enough that we've got resources available here, but small enough that we can, you know, find people and connect them. I mean, I think in many major cities, you're just lost trying to get to those resources. So, you know, they've done such a phenomenal job. Debbie Bogle has at the United Way, Natalie Beck at the Community Foundation, trying to come together and say, okay, who can help these individuals with this problem? And really trying to, it's like when we received money from Rodney Davis, got us a grant, but there are criteria attached to it, so it's not like I can just use it to cover a hole in my budget, but we can direct it toward low-income populations that are having problems with X, Y, and Z. Well, the city didn't want to start a program, so we went to Debbie and Natalie and said, okay, who does best at this? Who has a program in place with criteria and checking, you know, to make sure that we can help people before their power is shut off or before their water is shut off or, you know, their rent, because we don't want people to get so far behind on things that they become homeless.
My opinion of Decatur has always been that Decatur is pretty independent. It's a self, it's just a community that tries to solve its own problems and tries to just, it's just a community that builds things, that makes things, that produces things. It's an agri community. We just kind of like to say we can do it ourselves. But I always believe that needed to change a little bit because, and I know you and I agreed on this, because when you were running the chamber, I was watching, because I cover all of Central Illinois in my job, watching all these other cities around us get all this money for roads, for their wraparound projects of highways, mm-hmm. and various things, cool things. And a lot of it was state and federal money. And I don't know, I think it was started more with your term as president of the chamber. It was time to go to the Springfield, and it was time to go to Washington and ask for our fair share.
Well, Kevin, I think, and you and I worked really hard on this together, one of the things that helped make us successful in a lot of those endeavors is that it wasn't just, you know, a laundry list of priorities. We partnered with the county, we partnered with labor, we partnered with business and the chamber. So it's business and labor. It's Democrats and Republicans going to Washington and to Springfield saying, look, this is important to our community so we can build our own success story. It wasn't just a handout because we wanted to build a road to nowhere. This was important to business and to labor and to both sides of the aisle. So, you know, and if you recall, we worked with communities for Route 51 from, you know, basically Bloomington to Carbondale and Centralia and all the way down to try and get everybody on board, because you make more lawmakers happy, and so you're going to get a better shape, share of the pie. And it's really hard to turn us away when we are a united front. So when you have you know, the city and the county, not each saying, well, this is important to me, that's important to you. I mean, the city's number one priority really for federal money from an infrastructure prospect is raise bridges, because that's important to the city of Decatur and our businesses, which keep people employed. You know, if we can't keep our businesses going because grain trucks can't get in and out, we're in trouble. So, you know, trying to really work together and find those causes that we can, you know, all unite behind, it makes it a harder argument. It's harder to tell us no than it used to be.
Well, it is when you organize people like Jim Schwartz, Phil Hazenfield, David Tyrolt,
Josh Sapp,
Mr. Dunn, yeah.
All of the labor guys. I mean,
Jay Dunn.
You know, yeah. Oh my gosh, Jay Dunn is just an absolute phenomenal person who worked really hard for this county.
Yeah. I'm amazed as I look back at your career, all the things you've done for this community over and above trying to make a living for yourself and your family. And for that, I'm going to give you the rest of the morning off.
Well, you're so good to me. But, you know, having people like you, I mean, community support and volunteers, it's so important because our elected officials are part-time people. And so without the support of people from the Chamber of Commerce and from labor and, you know, people who just really care about moving the community forward, we can't get anything done. We can't do it by ourselves. So we need to solve our problems together and, you know, and stop the fighting about, you know, things that shouldn't be political, but they should be about health and taking care of people.
Another name, Joe Riley.
Yep, absolutely.
Terrific
Great guy.
Yep, labor. All right, Julie. All right, Mayor. Thank you for being with us.
It's Julie. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.